Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Friday evening, everybody, and it is a frozen, frigid Friday evening. Ha ha, how do you like that? Here in St. Louis and here at Conservative Cauldron, to which you are listening. You are listening, in fact, to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I want to thank everybody for braving the soon-to-be frigid temperatures and hanging out with me tonight. You know, it's been kind of a, topsy-turvy, kind of a lazy kind of week, you know, with the new year and everything. I guess I should first of all tell everyone, Happy New Year, Happy 2014. I hope that everyone had a fantabulous New Year's Eve and New Year's holiday. I did, and it is 2014, baby. Let's roll. You know, 2014 is an election year, and it is time for us to get to work. And maybe Republicans can, you know, get it together, and maybe we could actually win a few elections this time around. That would be, well, it'd be refreshing. So, you know, I got a little bit of this and a little bit of that tonight to talk about. We'll get into it all. I don't know if anybody's heard about it a lot this week. The Obama administration is, they're doing a little bragging. They are bragging about the fact that from October the 1st to, well, you know, October didn't go well for signups on healthcare.gov because, well, the damn website didn't work. And it's kind of hard to sign up for something when the website doesn't work now, isn't it? But during December, up until, I believe, the cutoff date there was Christmas Eve, the whole month of December, actually, the Obama administration was touting the fact that 975,000 people got onto the website and enrolled. It brings the total up right now to around 1.1 million people. Keep in mind now that as of March 31st, which is 3 months away, the Obama administration and HHS, Kathleen Sebelius and that gang, their target for signups for this is 7 million people. So, you know, it's been a long day. I'm not going to do the math. You can do the math, people, yourselves. But that's kind of a big that's a tall order for the next 3 months to have 7 million people signed up for this carnival, this circus called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. It said the bulk of the enrollment here was in December, about 975,000 people. Quoting Marilyn Tavner, who is the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, she said, our healthcare.gov enrollment nearly doubled in the days before the January 1st coverage deadline compared to the first few weeks of the month. December enrollment so far is over 7 times that of October and November. Well, that's not hard to do, like I said, when you can't get onto the website because it's not working. Part this was because we met our marks in improving healthcare.gov. The site reported 83,000 concurrent users on December 23rd alone. So according to them, according to the Obama administration, healthcare.gov is apparently going swimmingly. I'm sure the people who go on the website and sit there for 2 hours trying to get through to do something, type their name in, you know, I don't know that you want to type anything in beyond your name because word on the street is that the whole website is ripe for identity theft and that hackers can get into this website and, you know, practically with their eyes closed and pretty much get any sort of information about anybody that's signed up. She says that, well, this is not Marilyn Tavner. This is from Forbes.com. It's dated the 29th of December. A record 2 million Americans logged into the healthcare.gov website last Monday. So that would have been, you know, the Monday before December 29th. From the extended hours offered up by the Obama administration preceding the Christmas Eve. So that would have been the 22nd, I believe, of December. Preceding the Christmas Eve deadline to enroll in health insurance coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Again, it says Americans can still sign up for coverage through the end of next March, but that their coverage won't begin as soon. And which brings me to something else, too, is that, here it says under the new law, millions of Americans can get a subsidy of up to $5,000 to purchase an array of health plan choices. There are health plan choices here that are provided by Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Aetna, Cigna, Humana, United Health Group. There's a variety of different insurers that are providing health plans for through healthcare.gov. But it also brings me to something else that you may not hear in the whole, you may not hear it in the cheerleading that is being done by the mainstream media and by the Obama administration about healthcare.gov and about how the website is improving and everything is great. And that is that at least there are several hospitals in Northern Virginia, particularly one, that they are not able to, people are coming into the emergency room. Patients are coming into the emergency room to have tests done. They're coming in with chest pains, so they're coming in to have tests related to those symptoms. They're coming into the emergency room to have tests done, and they're waiting some more because the hospital and the third party people who are in charge of verifying insurance at the hospital, they cannot determine whether or not these people's plans, the patients who come into the emergency room, they cannot determine whether or not their plans are in effect, their Obamacare plans. And again, like I said, there's people who are coming in and they're there to have, you know, some pretty serious testing done and some pretty serious care that they may need given to them, and they're at a roadblock. They're just sitting there, and nothing is happening to them. And they're walking out, and they're leaving in frustration. And you know, this is January. This is only the beginning. This whole thing went into full effect. This whole thing went into the full Monty, if you will, 2 days ago. And we're already hearing stories. Well, you're not going to hear them on, you know, say the alphabet, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, you know, you can set it to music. And you're not going to hear these stories, but they're happening. And if they're happening in Virginia, it's happening in other states as well. And again, this is the tip of the iceberg. It's only January. And so I think that you can probably expect a lot more of these stories. You can expect to hear a lot more of these stories because it's just, you know, it's been called a train wreck by a lot of people, so I don't need to call it that because, you know, we've already established that. But the other thing, too, is that along with the implementation of the full implementation of Obamacare is there is also the possibility. Well, we did have the Murray Ryan budget plan passed, and it was not. You know, I don't think anybody was happy. I know certainly conservatives and Republicans were not happy about it. There was no spending cuts. There was no tax cuts. Democrats and liberals weren't happy about it because there was no extension of unemployment benefits, things like that. And so in a few weeks, we're going to be revisiting again, not only, again, maybe a possible government shutdown, but we're going to also revisit the whole debt ceiling extravaganza. And that hasn't even started yet, so I'm not even going to get into that. But I think we all know as astute studiers of the mainstream media, and we all know who I'm talking about when I use the phrase, air quotes, mainstream media, we all know who we're talking about. And the mainstream media has certain templates that they like to follow. And it doesn't matter whether or not that the facts of those templates are actually facts. It's just it's the agenda that they want to get across to the American people. People maybe who are not paying as good of attention as most people. Oh, you know, I'm going to say it. Maybe as people on the right do. I think yeah, there's people on the left who pay attention and they believe what they believe and they are sincere about their beliefs and that's fine. God bless America. But so we all know that one of the templates that the mainstream media does like to put forth is that people like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, people who are true conservatives in the House and in the Senate, you know, well they're evil and must be stopped at any and all costs. And when you're talking about government shutdowns, one of the mainstream media's favorite agendas is one of their favorite templates that they like to put forth is that last year's government shutdown, well, it was all the Republicans' fault. And it was all the Republicans' fault led by Ted Cruz. Well, last week, ABC's Jonathan Carl did an interview with Ted Cruz, and they talked a little bit about that government shutdown.
Tradition of first-year senators. They tend to be seen but not heard. You've had, like you said, a whirlwind for a first year as a U.S. senator. Does that surprise you? I mean, you're on Time Magazine's list of the runner-ups to the Pope for Person of the Year.
That was a very strange thing. This is a city where it's all politics all the time. And I'm trying to do my best not to pay attention to the politics, to focus
really?
On fixing the problems. I know that's hard to believe, but because no one in this town does that. This is a time for people to step up and do the right thing, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, you've had a couple of months to think about this whole government shutdown strategy. Now that it's over, in hindsight, are you prepared to say that it was a mistake, it wasn't the right tactic?
I think it was absolutely a mistake for President Obama and Harry Reid to force a government shutdown.
Now, you know, even John Boehner has said this was a Republican shutdown.
Look, I can't help what other people say. And, John, I understand that in the media, every day the media reported the Republican shutdown.
No, but come on. I mean, we're a couple months away from this. The only reason why this happened is because you insisted, Republicans insisted, that Obamacare be defunded as a condition of funding the government. If you took away that insistence, there would be no shutdown.
You know, really. You've got conservatives who stood strong and said, let's stop the train wreck that is Obamacare. And you've got Democrats in the middle of the shutdown. President Obama called every Senate Republican to the White House, sat us in a room and said, I called you here to tell you we're not going to negotiate, we're not going to compromise on anything. Repeatedly, Republicans were compromising, trying to find a middle ground. And repeatedly, Democrats said, no compromise.
Come on, Ted. You know it was a mistake. Just admit it. Just admit that it was all your fault, that it was all of those evil, wascally Republicans, that it was just a big conspiracy to just shut the whole government down. You know you all had a meeting, didn't you? poor Ted. You know, he's trying to convince Jonathan. He's trying to get Jonathan out of his mainstream media stupor that no, it was not in fact Republicans' fault. That the president and the Democrats, well, they did have a little something to do with it, but it's probably going to take a little bit more than one interview to, you know, to get poor Jonathan's head out of the liberal mainstream fog. Anyway, we've got a lot more to talk about. We've got a new little something here in St. Louis City called the No Refusal Zone. We're going to get to that. And we've got a lot more stuff to get to. So I'm glad you're hanging out with me tonight. I'm Becky Noble, your host. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio. Stay tight, stay loose, hang tight, and all of that. Wow, it sounds like we're in Hawaii. Let's pretend we're in Hawaii because it's just so damn cold. Be right back.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble, your host. Thanks for hanging out with me on this soon-to-be frozen, frigid Friday evening. You know, it's not too bad right now, but man, oh, Manischewitz, are we in for it here in the Midwest. They're talking about over the weekend here, maybe up to 10 feet of – or 10 feet. Been a long day. Up to 10 inches of snow, possibly even a foot. And it's going to be about, you know, I'm exaggerating, but roughly 50 below zero. And, you know, well, it's going to be a blizzard. And so what better way to spend your blizzard time than listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio? And that's what we're doing right now. We were talking about Obamacare. The administration, of course, is trying to tell everyone how great things are going when we know that that is not true. Here in St. Louis, starting on New Year's Eve, it started on New Year's Eve, and I think that a lot of people thought that maybe it was just a New Year's Eve thing, but oh no, no, it's for good. St. Louis is going to join similar Christian County, Missouri, several other counties in Missouri, as well as several other places around the country. St. Louis is going to be known as what is called a no refusal zone. And what this is, there's all sorts of thoughts that you can think about it. But basically what it is that they're looking to. I think that there's none of us here who are not going to tell law enforcement, hey, do all that you can do to get drunks off the road. I think we're all in agreement on that. But I think I think maybe in this case, maybe it's how, maybe not so much how you do it, but maybe how far do you go? Because what happens here is right now, if you get pulled over under the suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol, and you refuse a breathalyzer test, you could have your license suspended, your driver's license. Right now, with this new policy, what happens is you get pulled over. If you refuse the breathalyzer test, the police, whichever jurisdiction that you happen to be in, the police will then seek a search warrant for a blood test. And how they're going to do this is they have it all set up here. It's going to be by electronic means. They're going to have electronic access to a judge, to search warrants, to the whole thing, to the whole nine yards, anything that they need to obtain some blood to be drawn from you. And as soon as that warrant is issued, it's signed on the dotted line, and everything is good to go, what they will then do is that from wherever, whatever precinct they have taken you after you are arrested under the suspicion of drunk driving, they will take you to a hospital where they will draw blood from you. And police, St. Louis Police Chief Sam Dotson says that the whole process is expected to take around 60 to 90 minutes. And he says also that St. Louis police, at least St. Louis City police, make about 20 to 25 drunken driving arrests each month, which is great. You know, let's get the drunks off the street. But there's so many other questions of civil liberties and things like that come up here. Let's say that they take you to the hospital to have your blood drawn, and they have a warrant to do it, but let's say you still refuse. What happens then? Are they going to strap you to a gurney and draw blood? Because I think if they do, if that's the next step of this, if that's what happens next, then you are getting into a whole other area of Fourth Amendment questions, unreasonable search and seizure questions. I think this has got to be something that you know, is not just, you know, a slam dunk and it's all black and white and people say, okay, here's what we're going to do, let's do it, and then they do it, ... the end. There's the lawyers are just, you know, they're just beginning to take a look at this and see just exactly what it entails and you know, quite frankly, what's the constitutionality of this? I mean, you know, it's so broad and so general, I think, at this point that it's going to be opened up to a whole, you know, inquiries the likes of which that, you know, maybe we have never seen before. But so that is, I'm sure we have not heard the last of that, especially here in St. Louis. Also this week, those MSNBC kids, they are so much fun, aren't they? They are just, you know, those of us who do this, those of us who do blog talk radio, MSNBC is like, you know, it's job security because there's never a shortage of material. And, well, they didn't fail to disappoint this week. Melissa Harris Perry over at MSNBC, well, she was up popped the screen on her show, a really cute picture of former Republican presidential nominee and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney and his wife Ann, and they were surrounded by their grandchildren, and was really a cute picture. Gosh, there's a lot of them. They have a lot of grandkids, and they're all just really cute kids. And the picture itself was really cute, and it was a good idea. And what it was basically was a Christmas card that the Romneys had sent out to friends and family. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people do. It's something that a lot of grandparents do because they want to show off their grandkids. And it just so happened that Governor Romney had bouncing on one knee his adopted grandson, Kieran. And Kieran just happens to be African-American. And, well, Melissa Harris Perry and friends thought that this was just a chuckle a minute.
And then one that was pretty cute. Everybody loves a baby picture. Mm-hmm. And this was one that really a lot of people had emotions about this baby picture this year. This is the Romney family.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, there on Governor Romney's knee is his adopted grandson, mm-hmm. who is an African-American, adopted African-American child, Kieran Romney. Any captions for this one?
One of these things is not...
Does he do the same? And that little baby, front and center, would be the one.
And isn't he the most gorgeous? My goal is that in 2040, the biggest thing of the year will be the wedding between Kieran Romney and Northwest. Can you imagine Mitt Romney and Kanye West as in-laws?
I think this picture is great. It really sums up the diversity of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Right. Every RNC. Right. They have the convention. One, they find the one black person.
We still have so much to get to, including the annual look back in laughter tradition of asking, hey, was that racist? So don't go anywhere. There is, of course, more Nerdland at the top of the hour.
Okay, Melissa, so are we going to play Is That Racist? Okay, let's do that. So, was that racist to make fun of someone's grandchild who just happens to be a different race than that grandparent? I'm going to go with yes, that was racist. And it's also, you know, it's what we expect of the gang over there at MSNBC, that they will go to any lengths to portray the Republican Party and portray conservatives as Rush likes to say, racist, bigoted, sexist, homophobes. And, you know, if it means that they have to use someone's grandchild, if they have to use a baby in order to move that agenda forward, then by God, they will do it. Because we all know that at MSE, apparently the motto at MSNBC is the ends justifies the means. And I think you can find that other places look at a copy of Rules for Radicals. I'm sure you can find that phrase somewhere in that book. So, and it really does take, it takes a lot of chutzpah, it takes a lot of cojones to talk about that story in the way they did and then follow it up with, oh, come back because in a minute we're going to play Is That Racist? I just, you know, you don't really... All you have to do really is watch the clips. You don't really need to there's really no other words that you need to say about it. So there was that little bit of loveliness. The other thing I wanted to get to real quick tonight, and I wish I had more time to talk about it, and in the future we are going to have more time to talk about it, and I'll get to that also here in a minute. The sad case of 13-year-old Jahi McMath in California. I'm sure everyone has heard about this. She was 13 years old and went into the Children's Hospital of Oakland for a routine tonsillectomy. Following the surgery, she went into cardiac arrest and has been in a coma since. It's been about 3.5 weeks now. And every doctor who has examined her, they've done a myriad of tests and everything that can possibly be done for this child, and it's been determined that she is brain dead. Today, the latest here in that case is that a judge has declared that this girl's mother, that she can be removed from the hospital that she is at now and be taken into the care of her mother. And at this time, I know they are looking for a long-term facility to place Jahi in. They want to keep her on a ventilator and keep that ventilator, keep her heart pumping. And, they're hoping for a miracle as we all are, as we're all hoping for a miracle for this family. We may be talking about a matter of time for this child, and all we can do at this point maybe is keep this family in our thoughts and prayers and hope for the best. But I'm sure we're going to be here talking more about this case, too, in the weeks to come. Next Friday, barring any unforeseen glitches, blah, blah, easy for me to say, Conservative Cauldron will go to 1 hour starting at 10 p.m. next Friday, January 10th. Please, everyone, make sure that you are here for that. I'm really excited about it, really pumped. We had a couple of glitches here, but I believe we're going to get them all worked out, and we will go for 1 hour on January 10th, next Friday night, starting January the 10th. So please join me then. We will have lots more to talk about. Please look for me on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble, and please go to where it all started, conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. I am also on Twitter at Patriot Witch, and please go to examiner.com. I'm really glad everybody could hang out here with me tonight. Happy New Year. Everybody stay warm, and I will see you next time around. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.